Hi, I'm Pastor David Watson, and I'm sharing with you some wonderful truths on how to pray the prayer of faith, because the Bible says that the prayer of faith shall heal the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. I'm going to share with you some fundamental truth that's going to give you a foundation to be able to pray this prayer with confidence. Let's go to Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. There are powerful truths in here, and I want to take a few minutes on this message and share with you these wonderful truths that are going to give you a firm foundation to stand on to pray that prayer of faith with confidence. First thing you have to understand is that God loves you. He loves you. He would never harm you. The Bible says that the Father holds you in the palm of his hand. No one can pluck you out. You are safe and secure. You will not perish, but you have everlasting life. This life lives in you now. This everlasting life has the power to heal you. The Bible describes this everlasting life as a well of salvation. Jesus called it a fountain of water that springs up into everlasting life. You have this truth in you, this power in you, this spirit in you that's able to quicken your mortal body. So you have to understand that God is for me. He is not afflicting me. He is not permitting this to happen to me. I am under attack from the devil, and I have to stand on these truths and resist it so that God can confirm it and perform it and deliver me from it. So you have to know God loves me. He's a good father. He would never permit evil to happen to me. You have to get that settled in your heart. I am loved by God. The Bible says that Jesus' blood justifies you. Jesus bore your sin. He bore the judgment for your sin in his own body. It broke his body. He died. He was buried. After 3 days, he resurrected as high priest, took his own blood up to heaven, put it on the mercy seat, and purchased eternal redemption. That just simply means that Jesus' blood was proof that he died, evidence that you're forgiven, is proof that he bore your sins, so therefore God will never count your sins against you. So God will not count your sins against you. If he did, then Jesus died in vain. He has justified you with his blood. He has saved you from his wrath, so God will never judge you because Jesus has forgiven you. He has reconciled you to God. He has saved you by his life, the Bible says. In other words, because Jesus is living in your heart, he's going to save you. Because he's living in your heart, you got the life of God in you. You got resurrection power in you. You got the anointing of the Holy Spirit in you. He's going to heal you. You're going to be saved because he's living on the inside of you. Therefore, we rejoice through God that we have now received the reconciliation. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 3:14. But their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, the veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a veil over people's minds. This veil is the Old Testament law of Moses, is also the law of sin and death. This veil basically says you have to be perfect in order for God to accept you, in order for you to be righteous before God. Under the Old Testament law of Moses, you had to obey the Ten Commandments perfectly. You had to obey all the laws of Moses perfectly in order for you to be considered righteous. Therefore, under the Old Testament, No one was considered righteous because everyone has sinned, and everyone was under condemnation. Under the old covenant, no one felt worthy of God. And even to this very day, there are many Christians who feel they are not worthy of God because they're basing their worthiness on their works or their behavior or their ability to be perfect. And the gospel of Jesus Christ removes this veil from your mind so that you can receive the free gift of righteousness and know that God is not counting your sins against you and know that you are loved and accepted. It says in Colossians 2:13, "And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised in your flesh, he has made alive together with Christ, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirement that was against us, that was contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it." This is crucial to understand. You are born into this world dead in your trespasses, and us Gentiles were uncircumcised in our flesh, so we're not part of the family of God. But God has loved us, and he's opened the door for all the world, including the Gentiles, to come in and be saved. He has forgiven us of our sins. He took that requirement to be perfect in order to be righteous. He took it out of the way, nailed it to the cross, and freed us from it. And in doing that, he disarmed Satan. Satan's greatest lie is to tell you you are not worthy for God to heal you, to tell you this is happening to you because you have sinned against God. This is happening to you because you've blown it somewhere. See, that's the great lie. Jesus disarmed Satan by forgiving you. Satan's greatest weapon against you is to accuse you of sin and to bring you under condemnation, to give you the sense of unworthiness. If you understand that, when he comes to condemn you, you can say, "No, I have been forgiven. My sins have been washed away. Jesus has reconciled me to himself. He's not counting my sins against me. He bore my sins. He redeemed me from all sin." See, when you understand that God loves you, God accepts you, he's not counting your sins against you, it removes that veil from your mind that tells you you have to be perfect, that tells you this is happening to you because you have sinned. See, you need that veil removed from your mind. If you don't, Satan is going to have a stronghold. He's going to defeat you. So you got to remove this mind. You know what? I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed from all sin. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. I've been redeemed from all judgment. I've been redeemed from God's wrath. I've been justified by the blood. So Satan, you're not going to condemn me. I don't receive it. I resist it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Even if I do commit a sin, I have an advocate with the Father who is the propitiation for my sins. He's already paid the debt for my sins. God is not going to judge me. He's not going to count my sins against me. All I have to do is simply repent of my sin, receive my forgiveness. I'm right back and standing with God, and I shut that door for the devil to afflict me. See, Satan, he's crafty. If he can get you to think you deserve it, brother, he's got you. So you have to stand your ground, and you have to say, "No, I am forgiven. I've been washed white as snow. God is not counting my sins against me." You have to remove this veil of requirement that says you have to be perfect, because no one is perfect. If the requirement has to be perfect, then no one's righteous. That no one's reconciled to God, then we're all dead in our sins. But Jesus came and took our place as a substitute and paid the debt for our sins and has given us in exchange his righteousness as a free gift. I love that. Now it says in Romans chapter 3 verse 19, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh is justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, and there is no difference. Thank God that Jesus came and has revealed to us a righteousness that's apart from the requirement to be perfect. This is a righteousness that's given to you as a free gift when you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. So now I am a righteous child of God, is who I am. It says in Romans 5:17, now if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Here again, Jesus bore my sin. Jesus bore my judgment for sin. Jesus shed his blood. He went to heaven, purchased eternal redemption. Now he gives to me as a free gift the abundance of his grace that's given to me. And also he gives me a free gift of righteousness. When you understand that there's an abundance of grace given to you, the abundance of grace includes healing from sicknesses and diseases and pain, deliverance from all types of bondages. That's all included in this abundant grace that's given to me. This abundant grace is my inheritance in the saints in the light. It includes every promise written in the Bible. It belongs to me. It's freely given to me as a child of God, because now I am in right standing with God. If you understand that, you will reign in life. You'll reign over sickness, over disease, over pain, over depression, over oppression, over poverty. You'll reign over that curse. You'll reign over the kingdom of darkness. You'll reign over Satan, because you are the redeemed of the Lord, because you have God living on the inside of you. You have his abundant grace given to you. You have this gift of righteousness. It's truly amazing. It says in Romans chapter 4, verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Just as David also described the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. We understand you don't have to work or earn your righteousness now by your good deeds, because we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We've been translated from Satan's kingdom to God's kingdom. We are now under a new covenant. We understand that Jesus Christ, he's the one that justifies us. His blood justifies us. His blood covers our sin. It forgives us of our sin. It eradicates our sin and frees us from it. We believe that. And it also says that God imparts righteousness apart from works. Now we're blessed because we've been forgiven, and we're blessed because God does not count your sin against you. If you understand that God does not count your sin against you, Satan cannot condemn you when you commit a sin. Now we're going to sin because we still have this sin nature living in our bodies. We still have the darkness of this nature still in our souls. So therefore we're going to fall short. But God is not counting it against us, because Jesus has already paid the price for our sins in full. If you understand that, Satan cannot condemn you when you sin. Because when he comes to condemn you, you can just say, thanks, devil, for reminding me of that. Father, I repent for that, and I receive my forgiveness. Now, devil, get lost, because I'm forgiven. You can't condemn me. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's truly amazing. So God is not counting our sins against you. It says in Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not only did Jesus Christ bear your sin and redeem you from every lawless deed. He also bore your judgment for sin and redeemed you from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is revealed in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 15 through 68. In that curse is every sickness, disease, pain, all types of human misery. Jesus Christ redeemed you from it so that that curse cannot come on you. Satan will certainly try to bring it on you if you're ignorant of that truth. But if you know that truth, he can't do it because he can't prevail against you. You'll simply resist him and he will flee. Now that we are righteous, it's important that you understand that I am righteous in God's sight because he gave me his righteousness as a free gift. So I receive the righteousness of God, my identity. I am a righteous child of God. This is my identity. That's who you are. You are a righteous child of God. You're in right standing with God. He loves you and accepts you. He's not counting your sins against you. He has clothed you with the garments of salvation. You are his beloved child. That's who you are. And the Bible says that the blessing of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus. Now, the blessing of Abraham, first and foremost, is that you become righteous. It says in Romans 4:20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, being fully convinced what God had promised he was able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our offenses and who was raised for our justification. So just as when God promised Abraham he was going to give him a son, and that through his son all the nations of the earth would be blessed, that he was going to give him this promised land of Canaan, Abraham believed God, and the Bible says God counted his faith as righteousness. In the same way, when you believe that God sent his only begotten Son into this world, who became your sacrificial lamb, who bore your sins, who bore your judgment for sin, who died and was raised from the dead 3 days later, who went up to heaven, placed his blood on the mercy seat, purchased eternal redemption, when you believe that, God will count your faith as righteousness. Therefore, the blessings of Abraham will come upon you. And it says in Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, I will make you a great nation. This is God talking to Abraham. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Did you notice there's no curse in that? There's no sickness. There's no disease. There's no weakness. There's no poverty. There's no oppression. No, there's only blessing. The blessing of Abraham is that God will bless you and he will make you a blessing. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. It says in Hebrews 6:13 and 18, and when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore to him saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. That is the blessing of Abraham, that God will bless you. He didn't bless you with sickness and disease and pain and poverty and suffering. No, he blesses you with good health. He blesses you with abundant life. He blesses you with provision. He blesses you with peace and joy and happiness and all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's the blessing of Abraham. That's what God has blessed us with. Blessing and multiplying, that's the blessing of Abraham. That's what he has promised to those who believe in Jesus. And then verse 18 says that by two immutable things in which is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. There are two immutable things that this covenant, this new covenant, is built upon. There are two immutable things that promise us that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. They are the shed blood of Jesus and the broken body of Jesus Christ. The shed blood of Jesus forgives you of all your sins. God will never count your sins against you. No one can condemn you. Satan can't come and condemn you because God has forgiven you. That's a truth. That is a foundation. That is the rock on which we stand, that no one can condemn us, not even yourself. You can't even condemn yourself because Jesus justifies you. Number two, he broke his body. He bore the judgment for sin. The entire curse of the law came into Jesus' body. It broke his body, and he redeemed you from that curse. Therefore, no affliction can legally come against you. Satan has no legal right to afflict you with that sickness, that disease, that pain, that injury. He has no legal right to do it. Therefore, if you will stand in faith and resist the devil, he will flee. The blessing of Abraham is that you will walk in good health, that you will prosper in this life. That is the blessing of Abraham. That is your inheritance. That is what God promised you. However, you live in a fallen world, you live in a world where Satan is God, and Jesus said he will certainly come against you. You will have tribulations in this world. Storms will come and beat on your life. The gates of hell will come against you. But the Bible says if you will stand on the truth that you are forgiven of your sins and that you have been redeemed from all sickness, disease, and pain. If you'll stand on that truth, use that truth, then resist the devil, resist the tribulation, speak to the mountain, command it to be removed, command the sickness to go. It will obey you. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. So you have to understand that God is for you. He's not against you. This thing that's coming against you is the devil. And you have complete dominion and authority over the devil to resist him based on the truth of your redemption in Christ. And the Bible says Satan will leave. The Bible says that God has given his angels to encamp round about us. His angels are here to hearken to his word. So as you speak the word of God out of your mouth, God's angels will go and enforce that word. If you speak to that mountain, command it to be removed from your body, it will go. Angels will make it go. You have to stand in faith, keep speaking to it until it leaves. Hallelujah. Well, I hope I encouraged you a little bit. Now, I'm going to give another short message about how to stand and not be moved, how not to back away, not to give up, but stand your ground in faith until the devil bows his knee. That's going to be critical for you to understand. Well, I hope I bless you, and you have a great day.